Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, we got a great day laid on for you right here, but I'll go ahead and tell you like I tell you every single day. I'm sitting here looking at the website right now. If you find yourself getting outside of the, what I like to say is the overly broad range of our AM-FM capability here at WVNN, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Just all you got to do is go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's just rightsideradio.org. Click on the Listen Live. And like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. So, yeah, listen, that's why we have such a broad audience. That's why we have people that call in from out of state. When you hear people like we talk about Jerome in Rome or Jeff from Indiana or, you know, folks up in Virginia that I know are listening right now or, you know, down in Florida. Listen, the gig is this. They can listen because streaming online is one of your options. So, yeah, Listen Live is available to you. And then I'll also tell you, too, one of the cool things is the podcast. So if you're one of those that wants to recapture part of the show, or for that matter, you missed part of it, or maybe you just want to send something, like you heard Copper's Corner, you heard one of my monologues, and you want to send it to somebody, say, you got to hear this, because, man, they're so good, or whatever. Just all you got to do is go to the Right Side Radio website. All the podcasts are on there. Copper, oh, it's changed. How many downloads do you think we're up to now?
Ooh, nearly 23,000.
How about almost nearly 23,100?
Ooh.
So, yeah, that's new. That's good. All right, so 23,000, almost 23,100 downloads of the show. That's very, very cool. Yeah, I'm glad of it. And so, listen, folks, we got a lot of stuff on that website. Check it out. One of the things that I'm really enjoying, though, this week, I got to tell you, if you like deals, I got a deal for you. If you like the show, then I've got a deal for you. So here's the thing. We just this week announced on the rightsideradio.org website, we now have a button at the top of the homepage that says Right Side Store. You can go to Right Side Store, and we got swag, baby. We got stuff on there. We got any number of things. We got coffee mugs. We got T-shirts. We got what else is on? Oh, yeah, we got those travel mugs. And then the one that I get the biggest kick out of, we have socks. I don't know why I keep – Charlene laughs at me. I've got a pair of them. I like my Right Side socks, but we've got socks. So, yeah, anybody needs socks. So there you go. But this week only, 10% discount, just because we're grand opening kind of thing. 10% discount. When you're checking out, type in the promo code RIGHTSIDE, and it'll square you away with a 10% discount. Yeah, so lots of stuff happening in the news, and I'm going to get into education in a minute. But I just saw this breaking news a moment ago. This may not necessarily impact this listening audience, but it does tangentially. Where'd the story go? Hang on, let me go back to it. Yep, here it is. So 1819 News is reporting that former state senator Hank Sanders is going to return to the state, or trying to return to the state senate. Now, why is this interesting, Phil? Pray tell, Phil, why would you bring that up? He's down in Selma. Yes, he is. Senate District 23. I served with him in the Alabama Senate. He was there for a long, long time. I'm trying to think what year he ran first. It doesn't bother. Oh, yeah, he did. He served from 1983 to 2018. I mean, at what point do you call her done? But Hank Sanders has got a pretty interesting background. He's written a book. He's got a really neat personality. But I'll say this: he's also extremely liberal. We rarely ever agreed on legislation. Although I could shake his hand and like him as a person, we never saw eye to eye on legislation. But the interesting piece is this: he qualified to run last time for another term. On the day that qualifying was due to end, he dropped out late that afternoon only to have his daughter put her name in, and because he had held the spot and was deemed unbeatable at that point, basically he held it for her. And then when he dropped out and she got in, her name is Malik Sanders Fortier, and she ran. Now, I heard she's a wonderful person. A friend of mine who's a very conservative Republican down there says she's great. I've never had a chance to really get to know her because she came in after I left. But the interesting piece of this is, the sad part, first of all, is she's been struggling with cancer. Apparently, she developed cancer during her term. It affected her ability to serve. She's decided not to run again, and so Dad's coming back. And so Dad dropped his name in the hat. Says he's coming back down there to keep working on things like Medicaid expansion and all the other things that he and I disagree on. But he's about to turn 80 years old. but he's going to run again because his daughter is not. And something about that just feels wrong. I just feel like, you know what, Senator, you've had a run. At one point, you were a major figure in the state Senate. You controlled this the flow of politics when the Democrats had the party in the majority, but you don't anymore. And I think it's time. I think it's time to go to the House. This does not feel like good politics to have someone who's 80 years old, who helped get his daughter elected to his old seat, come back to replace his daughter after he'd already served for, what, 40 years? Wow. All right, folks, listen, I'm coming back. Number one on the Triple Dipper today, education in Alabama. It's all about the Benjamins. I'll tell you all about that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We will be right back. AM 92.5 FM WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, right here on the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama, WVNN. And yeah, and according to what we're reading, this is considered to be the number one talk show across North Alabama's afternoons, and we thank you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you for that, because that's where it comes from. It's not, I mean, we can do all we can. Copper and I can sit here and try to put on the best show in the world. If nobody listens, what does it really mean? So we know we got the best audience, bunch of Right Side ruffians, and we take pride in knowing that we have you on the team. Hey, listen, I'm jumping into the Triple Dipper now, right? Number one, I'm calling it Education's All About the Benjamins. I will go ahead and just tell you, I will hazard you this. If education is all about money, we should not be 50th in the nation. All right? What, Phil, why would you say that? I heard that we don't spend enough. I heard a liberal tell me we don't spend enough on education. Well, they're wrong. We've passed every year for the last 10 years. We have passed increasingly bigger budgets. We've passed the biggest education budgets in the history of the state of Alabama. In the history of the state of Alabama. In the history of ever. We have been passing bigger budgets. We also, by the way, if you were to look at the rankings, I saw a ranker on Governing Magazine about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Governing Magazine at that time indicated that Alabama spent somewhere in the neighborhood of like $9,270 per student, was my recollection, per year, which put us somewhere around, you know, in the middle. But there were like, I take it back, more like around 40th. But the bottom line is there were multiple states that spent less than us per student and still rank higher than us in education quality. What does that tell you? Apparently money's not the issue. There's got to be a means of adjusting what we do. All right, that said, there are always going to be calls for more money. And this year, Governor Ivey has proposed an increasingly larger budget. We are now in the $8-something billion mark. What's the number here? Let me find it. I'll find it in a minute. But the bottom line is it's going to be the biggest budget ever. Here it is, $8.299 billion for education. By the way, I don't mind spending money on education. I think we have to. I think it's one of the things that should be guaranteed, that we will provide an education for our students, but for our kids. But here's the thing. Liberals believe that the money is there to feed the beast, to feed the system. It's there to do things. No, it's there for nothing else. Here's the deal, conservatives. It's there for nothing else except to educate the child, period. And if you're not educating the child, then you're spending the money poorly. If you are not educating the child deserves the opportunity to do something different. Their parents, their legal guardian, needs to be able to find a means to get them to a place that will educate them with those tax dollars better. Well, okay, so here we are. We're in the session right now. You're going to start hearing a lot about budgets, and they're going to pass them. The only thing, actually, that the Alabama State Legislature, House and Senate, are required to do by Constitution is pass the budgets. I mean, technically, they could come down to Montgomery, take up the budgets, pass them, and go home and be done. That's their only constitutional requirement when coming into session, is to ensure the budgets are passed. I will say this. Alabama is also very fortunate that we are one of those states that due to our Constitution, we have a requirement for a balanced budget at every time. Now, in the past, when Democrats controlled the majority, they constantly hosed the budgets, And every year, for years prior to the Republicans taking back the legislature, 2010, when I got elected, prior to that, you had heard the word proration over and over again. Proration is when you get partway through the year and the money that you budgeted is obviously not sufficient, or you don't have the revenue to match it. In other words, you planned on spending X amount, but you only took in a lower amount than that, and therefore you have to prorate the budget. You have to knock it down. And so, you know, the governor would have to call for a 40% sometimes, a 20%, a 15% proration in the budget. What that means is you start canceling programs, cutting back on opportunities, and it's a mess. Well, you haven't heard that in 10 years. However, what has happened here in the most recent years is we've dropped to number 50th. Well, the other day, story on 1819. 1819news.com reports that as usual, this is what happens. Alabama Superintendent of Education, Dr. Eric Mackey, addressed all the legislatures, or the legislators who serve on the budget committees, and he gave them the, sort of the laydown. He said, number one, he said that the motto of the Department of Education is, quote, help every child get every chance every day to have a great life. All right, that sounds neat. We're 50th. What are we doing? Well, he went on to talk about, he said 77% of our third graders are reading on grade level, but that means that 23% are not reading on grade level. Well, he can do math. So that's right, 23% are not reading at grade level. He went on to say that's a problem because studies show that students who have not mastered reading by the start of the fourth grade tend to fall further behind and have less successful educational outcomes. All right, I would point out that's true. I believe that. So why then are we continually hearing calls to delay the activation of the new law that was passed just a couple years ago that mandated that students had to read at third grade level before going on to fourth grade? Anyway, he also points out, too, very candidly, that in 2019, Alabama's fourth graders were 49th in reading and 52nd in math. How are you 52nd in math if there's only 50 states? Well, I'll tell you how. Because we're behind, I think it was Puerto Rico and the Department of Defense schools that are overseas for our kids. And I went to a DOD school overseas. Okay, but he goes on to say they're going to do some things like adopt a special coaching model. They're looking at ways to enhance staffing of their teachers, classroom teachers. And then he went on to talk about the fact that they have requested an increase in budgets, which appears to be met by Governor Ivey's proposal of $8.2 billion. Okay, it's about the Benjamins, right? Well, let me just lay something on you. Apparently, the Benjamins don't matter when the teachers don't show up. Pray tell, Phil, what do you mean? Well, story off of AL.com yesterday afternoon. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen in Chicago. Headline of the article, Birmingham schools return to in-person as teachers stage sick out. You heard me. Teachers are basically, they're basically pseudo on strike right now. Birmingham City Schools reported almost 350 teacher absences on Wednesdays, about 13% of their staff, with 144 employees out with COVID, 200 more out for, quote, some other reason, according to Superintendent Mark Sullivan. For many employees, that reason is a, quote, sick out, meaning they have chosen not to return to in-person learning following 2 days of remote instruction due to concerns about COVID safety in schools. Come on! I mean, he gives the example. He says, you know, 13% of your staffing may not impact the system, but it can have a big impact if it's focused more in certain schools. So 13% might not mean something when you've got, what would that be, somewhere around 3,500, 3,700 teachers thereabouts? And 350 are out. That's a chunk. But where it gets really bad is if that chunk winds up being more impactful on certain schools. Well, how about this? Parents and teachers from Carver High School in Birmingham were, I'm sure, dismayed to know that students had to sit in the gymnasium all day because there weren't enough teachers in the building. Come on, really? So you brought the kids to school and told them to go to the gym and just hang out. And when the bell rings, we'll send you home. What is that called? That's called babysitting. That's what that is. It says some teachers who participated in the sick out say they plan to stay home until at least the end of the week, and they will decide an end date in coordination with the Birmingham American Federation of Teachers. How many teachers unions are there? So the Birmingham American Federation of Teachers is, their president, a guy named Richard Franklin, said they're tired of being exposed to COVID. Bunch of snowflakes. All right, I assume they're still getting paid. What do you think of that? Yeah, because I guarantee you, if somebody in charge said, "Yeah, that's cute, but we're not gonna give you a paid day off for that." Now, by the way, they probably can't because the union has made sure that's locked in. But nonetheless, if they found out tomorrow that they weren't going to get another freebie, they weren't going to be able to sick out and not show up, I guarantee you a whole bunch of them would come back. Because I would go ahead and just if you were to bet me on this, you'd lose. All right, so I would bet right now, if and as a betting man, I would bet right now that those same teachers, a lot of them who don't show up, they still go to a restaurant. They still shop at the grocery store. They still do the things that take them to places where there's people while they collect their paycheck for not doing their job. How about this? If you're that scared of your job, maybe we need to get somebody else to do your job. Maybe you need to quit and go do something, I don't know, safe, because apparently it's too scary for you to be in the place where we know that COVID transmission is lower than it is in other places. And by the way, COVID's not going away. How long will you use this as your jackleg excuse? We are to the point, this is what we call endemic. And I would suggest that you need to go ahead and wise up. What you got, Copper?
How would you dissuade parents from coming to terms with the idea that it's okay to expect teachers to be babysitters, daycare professionals? I remember back during COVID, I said that to Dale. You know, teachers aren't supposed to be babysitters. And he said, yes, they are.
Well, okay. Maybe we don't use the word babysitter, but the reality is parents have a right to expect their teachers to be there.
True.
And truthfully, what's supposed to happen, because I've got teachers in my family, I know this for a fact, is if you know you're not going to be in, you help coordinate your own substitute. All right. More often than not, the teacher who knows they're going to be out, like those who stage a sick out, they're supposed to help cover down so that, you know, someone's there. Because truthfully, they're responsible for the kids during the day. And, you know, it's really not supposed to be considered babysitting, because there's supposed to be a purpose for their attendance. But nonetheless, the parents have a right to get up and go to work during the day to earn the living, to pay the taxes that pay for the freaking education. Yeah.
But, I mean, if teachers are going to be expected to be nannies and coaches and mentors and teachers and lesson planners and researchers all at the same time, you know, I think they need a raise.
Do you? Let's see. They make an average of $46,000 a year to start.
Do they?
As a first year teacher in Alabama. They also get full retirement right off the bat, and they get, well, they have to vest in it, but they're earning a retirement. They have a right within 3 years to earn what's called tenure, meaning good luck ever trying to fire them, and they're locked in at that point. And they also get, an average of about 45 to 60 days off in the summertime, but they're still collecting their annual paycheck. And I'm not belittling. I mean, by the way, God, it's a calling. It's a calling. You're not going to get rich being a teacher. Yeah. But every single one of them went in the door knowing that. So don't go there and then complain about being there when you volunteered to be there. So, I don't know. Did I address your question?
I guess. I mean, I know teachers, and I know the amount of work that it takes. Like,
you
come home and you're not off the job, and you're getting $46,000 a year and probably won't get a raise in 10 years, at least not significantly.
Oh, no. They get raises every year. They have gotten raises almost every year. This year, they proposed 4%. Last year, they got 2%. I mean, it's been escalating continually.
Okay,
and
okay.
There are plans in place right now. If you get NBCT certified, National Board Certified Teacher certified, you can have a $5,000 stipend added to your pay.
Okay.
Because I helped pass that law.
Nice.
Take us to a break.
Stand corrected.
No, it's not corrected. It's more like dialogue, but... No, by the way, do not assume for a second that I'm saying teachers don't work. I have taught, not as a career, but I have taught. But the reality is this. Teachers do an amazing job. But teachers have a job. And they have to do their job. If they don't like their job, go find another job. I would say that to anybody in any profession. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. AM 92.5 FM WVNN Phil Williams Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. In number one of the Triple Dipper right now, we're talking about education. Education in Alabama too often centers around the Benjamins. So I'm saying education, all about the Benjamins. But there's more to it than that. There are. And I'm going to clarify right now, in case you misunderstand anything I just said, I got teachers in my family. My wife was a private school teacher. My daughter-in-law is a public school teacher. My cousin was a public school teacher. Yeah, I don't hate teachers. That was the thing that they always tried to do the ad hominem attacks from the teachers. And you just hate teachers. Shut up. No, I don't. That's ridiculous. I hate the teachers union. It's okay. That's different. But I also used to get so irritated when usually the Democrats would go to the podium in the state Senate. And they'd say, we don't fund education at a high enough level. And if I went up there, I would ask, what's a high enough level? And they could never tell you because they don't know. They just want more money to feed the beast. All right. Hey, let me take some calls here. I got two on the line. Let me go to a line four, Copper. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today, man?
Doing mighty fine. I spent my last year in high school in Department of Defense School,
yeah.
Mannheim, Bisons. Outside of Coleman Barracks, West Germany.
No kidding.
And Ben Franklin Village. And those teachers were magnificent. And I know they didn't get paid much correspondingly. And some of them were there even if they didn't have relatives that were in the military over there because they wanted to be there.
Yeah, that was my experience too. I was kind of shocked to find out the DOD schools apparently don't rank very high for whatever reason in the education rankings. But I went to 7th, 8th, and 9th grade at London Central High School in London, England. And it was an American Department of Defense school.
Wow.
On High Wycombe Air Force Base. That was my experience. But I had that was probably my favorite school experience ever, too. It was pretty cool.
I enjoyed it, and I got to graduate in Worms Cathedral, where Martin Luther met the Diet.
How about that? That's very cool. Yeah, that's good. Hey, Brian, thanks for the call, man. And
you have a good one.
And, yeah, you too, bud. Let me go to line five, Copper, before I run out of time. Dan from Madison. Hey, Dan, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you today?
Very well, sir. You know, their job's extremely tough. I speak of the teachers. Some students are very polite and know their manners, and there's quite a few that don't. So I don't wish any ill on the teachers at all. But I will say this about the teachers. I worked for the post office for almost 30 years. I didn't make as much as some of my friends, but I have the benefit of having a pension now.
Yeah.
Plus that pays me my medical. Plus I get a pretty good amount after my medical's taken out in my hands. So I'm very, very pleased. So, you know, if you save correctly and you have a pension, you'll be fine.
Well, and that's correct. Hey, Dan, and by the way, that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of folks don't realize is that the teacher's retirement in Alabama is actually very solid, and the health benefits are some of the best you can get. And when you add that, it creates almost about a $70,000 a year package in terms of what they're receiving, even going into their first couple of years on the job.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call, man, and thanks for your service to the nation getting the mail out there. All right, listen, moving on with the topic, I'll tell you, top of the hour, by the way, we're not going to have time for it probably, but top of the hour, we've got Stephen Bridgers calling in. He'll be calling in. He works for an organization called Scholarships for Kids. They are one of those who sprang up in the wake of the law that I was able to help pass in 2013 that finally got us into the school choice arena. Now, granted, not a whole lot's been done since then, but school choice in Alabama does exist. And part of that's the Alabama Accountability Act, which says if you're in a failing school, you can get a scholarship to go elsewhere. And those of us who want to contribute to the scholarship fund, it's a dollar for dollar tax credit. Well, Governor Ivey just declared this School Choice Week, and then she turned around and kind of shocked me, I'll be honest. She gave $8.9 million to the scholarship programs. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll come right back. I'll tell you more about it.